The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS NFL Podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and John Breach. And tonight we are giving out our top six Thursday night NFL takeaways from the draft. If you're joining us on YouTube, smash that like button, comment, and subscribe. For audio only, do the same and tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. Fellas, this was a wild first night of the draft. And in my opinion, the most wild thing that happened was the Jonas Brothers. Why were they there? And why were they there for so long? And why were two of them wearing matching outfits?
I thought there were, I felt like there was an extra Jonas brother that I wasn't expecting, like a Kevin Jonas.
Well, Kevin is a brother.
By the way, you did say good evening.
Oh, it's good morning.
Good morning.
It's good morning. It's
Kelly
it's
Mox. Night. A.K.A. Katie Mox.
Yeah, when I say my name, guys.
It's an endearing nickname. If she calls me Brian, same thing. Just roll with it. But
there they are.
What are these guys doing? No, see, this is the interesting
can I just
part
say,
about
it's
this.
It's not an NFL draft unless the Jonas Brothers are there. So I don't know what you're talking about.
The interesting thing here is that, and I have an HD antenna, right, which is much faster than even cable or streaming, obviously. It's just ahead like a couple seconds, 10 to 15. ABC, you can use that. You can't do ESPN there. The ABC coverage of the draft is so interesting because, like, David Muir did the nightly news. He goes, coming up in just a few minutes, the NFL draft. Lives will be changed. Futures will be altered. And they're like, in 2001, Tom Brady went 199 as a reminder of the craziness that can occur on the clock. It's like, no one even thought about Tom Brady being drafted in 2001. But, like, you trot out the Jonas Brothers for the ABC crew. For the ESPN crew, you got to bring in like a parrot or a pirate or something.
You get Menudo.
For 98
Menudo
degrees.
Is actually one of the longest standing boy bands. All right. One more thing before we get started. Brinson, you flex on us in the chat a lot. Up 125 units on the draft. How are we doing this year?
I didn't bet on this draft because I told everybody that it was going to be insane.
Yes.
And that betting on this draft was a fool's errand, and you would end up losing money because no one knew what teams would do because, one, there's a bunch of new GMs. Two, there are a bunch of teams with two first-round picks, and it would be difficult to discern in this draft class, which was very flat and featured not a lot of really high-end talent and four quarterbacks who attract the attention. That it would be difficult to predict what would happen. Now, sure, did I predict a lot of it and nail it with my mock draft reach?
I was going to say,
you were
flexing in the group chat.
Well, when Brinson says he did not gamble on the draft, that is incorrect. He actually
I do owe you $40 or $10?
$10. $10. Per our bet that CJ Stroud would drop out of the top 10, I said there was no way it would happen. But I gave Brinson 4-1 odds, who said it might because everything was happening. But in Brinson's defense, he did make me more than $10 about a half hour before the draft started. He said CJ Stroud's going to go number two. Bet everything on it. I didn't bet everything, but I certainly got more than $10 out of that. So thanks, Brinson. You still should send me that money. But so
I'm going to you. What's your Venmo real quickly?
I think it's just John Breach.
Good for you. I'm surprised there's not another John Breach out there. Now,
everybody
normally,
Venmo Breach some money.
Venmo John. Everybody Venmo request. If you're watching right now, Venmo request John Breach 69 cents. Normally on a post draft round one podcast, what would happen is I would go off on some bizarre CJ Stroud going second overall tangent. However, Katie Mox.
Yeah.
As a list of items that we're going to cover, I would imagine that's near the top.
It is near the top, but it is number one, actually. Okay, so the Texans, CJ Stroud, the Texans were not messing around this year. There is no patient rebuilding going on. They got their franchise quarterback, CJ Stroud. Then they traded up 9 spots to get Will Anderson Jr. for the number 3 overall pick. Is this, you guys, a franchise-changing draft or a bit irresponsible given how many picks they had to give up that they got from the Deshaun Watson trade and how long they could put that out? So what do you think? What are you grading this as?
So, well, first of all, I want to give producer Billy, who's probably going to end up talking to this podcast, the Eagles had a good draft, an A-plus for this Family Feud-style graphic. The only way it gets better is if we get the actual, like, you know, Ray Combs. I guess we can even throw it back further if you wanted. Some people like Harvey, right? Steve Harvey. But where it flips over, like as he's like, what's number one on the list? The Texans, depending on which trade chart you use, either got fleeced or, I think, according to our own RJ White, actually came out kind of even. And what's really interesting about this, and I'm not reporting this per se, but just like hearing this from a bunch of different places, the Texans wanted to go Will Anderson at 2. That's who D'Amico Ryans want. Once they missed out on the chance, as Adam Schefter reported, to move to number 1 and take Bryce Young, because the Panthers threw in DJ Moore to the Bears and moved up there. Once that happened, the Texans knew they couldn't get Bryce Young, their quarterback preference. At that point, there's a bit of a battle between ownership and the front office and the coaching staff about going defense or quarterback. Now, Cal McNair, you can think whatever you want about him. He owns the team. He can do whatever the hell he wants with said team. He wanted CJ Stroud, despite the fact that he shares an agent with Deshaun Watson, and that creates some problems down the road. Nevertheless, they draft Stroud, and then they trade back up from 12 to 3. I don't think I've ever seen this. Draft Will Anderson and get two of, I think, from a consensus perspective, the 5 or 6 best players in the draft. Breach, how can you not love this for the Texans, the story of this draft? If they win 2 games next year and give up their first-round pick, they'll look like idiots. But if they're decent, very nice draft.
Yeah, here's the thing about the Texans. They've done a lot of smart things this entire offseason, and they just kind of fly under the radar. I mean, you look at what they did in free agency. They added Robert Woods, Jimmy Ward, Sheldon Rankins, Dalton Schultz, Devin Singletary. I mean, I could just keep going. Hassan Ridgeway. And then, obviously, the big question was at quarterback, and that was it. You know, are they really going to go into the season with Case Keenum and Davis Mills and not draft a quarterback? Because that was kind of the smoke and mirrors they were throwing out there was, what are they going to do at number 2? As Brinson mentioned, they love Will Anderson. There was no indication really that they were going to take a quarterback. They were playing it close to the vest. And now you put CJ Stroud in there, who feels like he was easily the second best quarterback in this draft. And so I thought that was a smart pick, trading back up and getting Will Anderson. You're not mortgaging your future. If you're using picks, they had so many picks. It's not like every pick can make their roster. Like, they had picks to spare. They used them. They got the 2nd overall pick, 3rd overall pick. By the way, just the 3rd team in the Super Bowl era to get 2 of the top 3 picks in the NFL draft, joining Washington in 2000 and the Colts in 1992. And so, yeah, I agree with you, Brinson. I thought the Texans played this brilliantly. Kudos to that front office. And I thought Nick Caserio did exactly – he's building the Patriots South or Patriots Southwest or whatever Texas is considered, where he was in New England for 20 years. He knows you need a quarterback to win. Obviously, you have Tom Brady. And he saw what kind of talent Belichick would kind of get on defense. And that those defense are always good, and it helps that they have a defensive genius running the show in Belichick. But that's what he's done. He's amassed all this talent on defense. He's brought in a quarterback who he thinks can be successful. And, man, Texans look tough.
I did think Katie made a good point, though. It's like you gave the future first. If C.J. Stroud bust out, right, then like they have all these first round picks because they took future first from other teams.
Yeah.
Like the Browns like 12 times. And that would be the one thing I would be worried about. What if you're the worst team in football next year because C.J. Stroud sucks and Caleb Williams is incredible for the Arizona Cardinals when they move on from Kyler Murray next year?
Yeah, they gave up a 12th overall, a 33rd overall, a first round pick in 2024, a third rounder in 2024. It's a lot. And it's either going to be a bust or it's going to be amazing. And we don't know. So it could be seen as irresponsible. I will say a lot of people in the chat are disagreeing with you guys and think that the Texans got fleeced with this one. Moving on to our...
But real quick, we weren't talking about the terms of the trade between the Cardinals and the Texans. We were talking about how the Texans talent addition improves their roster. The Cardinals got the better end of that trade by a mile. I mean, they picked up an extra first round pick in 2024. There is no doubt about that. But, you know, the flip side of that is that we don't know what the Cardinals are going to do with that pick. The Cardinals do not have a great track record of draft. They might blow that pick next year. So 2 years
the Cardinals had to trade away a third round pick for tampering before the draft.
Well, right. So like 2 years from now, we could be saying that the Cardinals got fleeced because they didn't know how to use these draft picks they were given. So yes, right now from a compensation standpoint, the Cardinals won, but from, hey, did we just have one of the best first round possibles? If you're the Houston Texans, I think you walked out of this draft very happy because you are just ecstatic with the two guys you got.
One more very quick note. I mean, like, I know it's a different network. Don't care. Shout out to Daniel Jeremiah, one of the best dudes in this business, at Move the Sticks on Twitter. You've seen him on the draft shows. He had in his final mock draft, C.J. Stroud going 2 and the Texans trading back up to grab Will Anderson 3. That is an outrageous pull in terms of mock.
I think we lost your audio there. Okay, so moving on to this.
I was hitting mute.
Hitting mute. All right, second one. So two running backs were taken in the top 12. You got Bijan Robinson at number 8 and then Jahmyr Gibbs, number 12. Only 4 running backs have been selected in the first round since Saquon Barkley was selected number 2 in 2018. Kind of abnormal to have this many running backs go that high. Breach, were you surprised by this?
Not with Bijan Robinson. I think that one was pretty clear that he was going to be a top 10, a top 12 pick. It was just the question was, is he going to land in Atlanta? Is he going to land in Philadelphia? But I mean, you do have these guys who are so talented. And it doesn't happen very often. I would say once every 4 or 5 years where it's, I don't care what the NFL feels or how most teams or what analytics feels about the running back position. This guy is so talented, you can line him up anywhere on the field, that he is absolutely worthy of being a high first round pick. So yeah, I don't hate the Falcons for what they did. I thought the Lions was a little weirder, taking Gibbs 12th overall, because the Lions also had the 18th overall pick, and I just feel like Gibbs would have been available there. And so if you want a running back at that point, just wait and take him at 18. It just felt like 12 was a reach. I think Gibbs is good too. If they take him 18, I'm going to feel a little bit better about the pick than I am if they take him at 12. So, I think the Falcons, Arthur Smith has proven that he runs a run-oriented offense and that it can be successful. They surprised a lot of people last season. And so now the only question is, can Desmond Ridder handle Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Bijan Robinson? Is that enough to turn this team around? Because he's got the keys to the offense now. He just can't crash it because he's got a lot of weapons.
If I wake up on Friday morning and Chick-fil-A has not inked a deal with Bijan Robinson's, like, he has a mustard company, like a it's like a Dijonaise style Bijonaise. If there's not a Bijonaise dipping sauce for chicken nuggets in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium by next week, it's a massive marketing failure by Chick-fil-A. Like, get this man his extra bag.
It should be his agent, Brenton.
The one thing that I would do that, probably pay better. No offense to my current job, probably pay better. You get 10%, you get 10%, you get a first round pick, you get 10%. Clearly, it pays better.
Not to mention the deal with Chick-fil-A.
Right. I'd be basically the VP of Chick-fil-A marketing at this point. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really bizarre, one, that the Seahawks took Devin Witherspoon at 5. They never draft cornerbacks high, although they took Earl Thomas when they kickstarted the Legion of Boom back in the day. But the Lions at 6 said, all right, that was our guy. We're moving back immediately, like really fast. That trade came in quick. And then they take a running back when they could have just taken – I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is really good. Don't get me wrong. But I want Bijan Robinson at 6 versus Jahmyr Gibbs where they took him. That was sort of my concern with it. I think the most fascinating thing about these running backs is 2 running backs off the board before a wide receiver. That is incredibly unusual in 2023. It probably speaks to, I think, more to this class specifically than any sort of trend in the NFL. You have a bunch of slot receivers, shorter guys. You don't have true alpha number ones. There's no Jamar Chase, et cetera. And you just have a lot of uncertainty at different positions. So taking a running back, I think, probably felt like a safer move for some of these teams. And, you know, you look at Detroit's situation from, you know, a roster perspective. Yeah, DeAndre Swift was a high pick before. He's in the last year of his deal. David Montgomery was signed as a free agent, but he's also basically on a 1-year deal, maybe a 2-year deal. And so you have those 2 guys where if, like, let's say hypothetically you bring in Gibbs or Robinson, whatever you do, you bring in a running back and they don't acclimate immediately to either pass pro or finding the cuts, finding the holes, you know, the burst there, knowing what to do from a pro perspective, you do have bodies there to help, you know, alleviate that. And I think the Lions look at themselves as a team in a watered down NFC that can make a deep run because they might have the 4th best quarterback in the conference with Jared Goff, which sounds like a thing a crazy person would say, but it's kind of true.
It might be.
He's like battling for 4 and 5 with Kirk Cousins. Like, what the hell is happening here?
All right. On that note, we are going to take a quick break, but if you're hungry for more football analysis and first draft round analysis, then stick around after this because we have the first with the First Pick podcast. It's your source for comprehensive draft coverage and pick breakdowns with CBS Sports draft expert Ryan Wilson and longtime general manager Rick Spielman. Ryan and Rick will recap each day of the draft, dishing out winners and losers from all 7 rounds. And the draft chatter doesn't stop on Saturday. Stay tuned to the show for a team-by-team draft grade for an early look at who your team could be eyeing next year. Download and follow the With the First Pick podcast wherever you find this one.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Get breaking news.
Big news coming out of the NFL today.
Highlights and instant reactions.
The largest final round comeback in four championship history. We're down to the final four.
I just want to take time to analyze greatness.
Chalk winners and losers with a guy who's already a big winner.
CBS Sports HQ. It's all sports all day long.
Welcome back to Pick Six Podcast. All right, number three, the Eagles move up and select Jalen Carter at number nine. Before we get Billy in here, how'd you guys feel about this one? There were several other teams that were interested. The Steelers were one of them, couldn't get a deal done. Eagles get their second Jalen. They now have a Jalen on the offense and the defense.
I actually missed, what was the Steelers? The Steelers wanted to get up for Jalen Carter? I think I missed that. What was the... I mean, you know, you try to soak in every nugget, but sometimes you miss something. What was the genesis of that one?
The Steelers were reportedly in contact with the Bears, who originally held the ninth pick, but didn't make a deal. That's the nugget.
That is spicy. I think what's really interesting when you look at, I hate saying this because I was so prepared this offseason to move off of my Eagles. And to allow Billy to have them. I picked them to win the NFC last year. So they're kind of my Eagles.
Okay.
I was hoping they would sort of take a step back maybe. And Howie Roseman is just out here building Georgia 2.0. He has like at least four Georgia defenders on his defense. That is essentially his draft plan is I'll go in the first round and I will take maybe the greatest historical college defense in NCAA history and just put them on my NFL roster and see if it works. And they made the Super Bowl last year. Jordan Davis, you know, who I love, obviously needs to have a better year, but now you add Jalen Carter in there, and Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis don't have to be immediate linchpins in the middle because they brought Fletcher Cox back. You add Nolan Smith. I mean, like, look, Georgia destroyed everybody. And you're just making him an NFL team in real life. I love it.
He's actually, Jalen Carter was the first Bulldog taken off the board as well.
The whole Jalen Carter thing was crazy because remember early April, he's like, guess what? I'm not interviewing any team outside the top 10 because not dropping out of the top 10. And here he is sneaking in the top 10 at number nine. And if you would have told Howie Roseman before the draft that they were going to get Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, he probably would have laughed you out of the room thinking that there was no feasible way that could happen. And here we are with just having both guys fall in his lap. Obviously, you know, the Eagles trade up one spot to get Jalen Carter, which is hilarious that the Bears did that to pick up the fourth round pick. And then really having Nolan Smith fall to the bottom of the first round, just every pick. Once we got to the 24, 25, it was like, oh my God, this is really going to happen. Everything is coming up Eagles. Literally for the past 12 months, everything has been coming up Eagles. They look good last season. They go to the Super Bowl. They have a fantastic first round of the draft. I don't know what this team is doing. I don't know if they made a deal with the devil like Jerry Jones did in 1995, as Brinson loves to tell us all the time. But whatever happened, everything's coming up Eagles. And that, I mean, great first round getting those two guys.
Philly feels a lot like the new Boston, where, you know, you kind of felt bad for them because they didn't win anything ever. And then they get that Super Bowl and you're like, all right, cool. That's great. And then all of a sudden they start winning everything and they become, no offense to Debo or Billy here, but a little bit obnoxious. You know, I will say that somehow I'm on a thread with like a buddy of mine who's a Falcons fan, and there's an Eagles fan on there as well. Shout out to Hart and Buzz, two great first names. They asked me today who their teams would get, and I told Hart that the Falcons would get Bijan Robinson, and I mentioned Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith for the Eagles. So I'm basically 3 for 3 on that thread, and they think I'm actually smart. Look, Jalen Carter is, if he plays to his maximum potential, easily the best player in this draft class. Now there are questions about, you know, his motivation, and, you know, it's hard to characterize those things. It's hard to really understand because you're not inside his head, but you had the off-field stuff this offseason. And then at his pro day, granted dealing with an arrest, shows up a little thicker, doesn't, you know, do the drills very well. I don't want to criticize thick people. It doesn't feel like my place. Doesn't do the drills very well. And so those are concerns, but like you put him in with the Eagles, where he doesn't have to be a guy who's like doing he doesn't have to be the guy on a day-to-day basis from Jump Street because they have the bodies there. This is what makes the Eagles good and what makes Howie Roseman a really good general manager. They are planning for next year already. This is not a pick that – it's a pick that will help 2023, but it's a, these two picks are – you know, could make 2024 special.
And real quick, someone in the comments section asking if there is any chance that Jalen Carter can serve jail time. The answer is mostly no. He pleaded no contest. He's sentenced to 12 months probation. If he were to violate his probation, that would be the route to jail time. But as long as he steers clear of breaking the law, then no, he is off the hook. He'll pay a $1,000 fine, do 8 hours community service, and after 12 months, we'll be have this completely behind him.
And as Katie presumably brings Billy in, I will just note that if you were drafted in the top 10 of the NFL draft, you got to really, really do something bad to go to jail. Unfortunately, that's the reality of society.
Yeah. All right, Billy, you have 30 seconds to say, Billy Sunglasses is back.
I mean, you know, it's 12:30 a.m., but, you know, I'm still shining. It's kind of hard, you know, but I still feel like the bright lights are on me. I mean, it's a great movie.
Hey, Har, I can see your ring light and your shades.
Shine bright like a diamond. No, but it's really good moves for the Eagles. You know, we had last year, you know, the talk was we had a bunch of Batmans on offense, but now on defense, we got a whole bunch of dogs. And I can't wait for all of them to play together. You get Nolan Smith on the back end at pick 30 is that's a great pick by Howie. And for him to just fall there, like you said, Howie would have like, he would have been elated if you told him yesterday that he'd be able to get, you know, Carter and Nolan Smith in the same round. Like he would be shocked. He would have thought that he had to mortgage the whole Eagles future in order to get those guys. So, you know, great work by Howie. And I can't wait. I can't wait for those dogs to get to work.
Well, maybe those dogs will be barking. All right. Thanks, Billy. Number four, three quarterbacks were selected in the top four. You got Bryce Young going number one overall, then CJ Stroud, then Anthony Richardson. It's actually also the first time in NFL history that three black quarterbacks have gone top 10 in the draft. Were you guys surprised at all by these three?
By the way, this podcast is like going to be pretty much insufferable in 2023, given how bad the NFC is and how good the 49ers and Eagles are. This is we have a problem on our hands with Katie and Billy.
And by the way, Billy and I are just as insufferable. So it's good luck to
you. Yeah, at least you're not wearing sunglasses.
I become best friends.
Yep. Oh, God. Let's go Panthers. I might become a Panthers fan again next year and just like root against you guys and have the Panthers win the NFC. Okay, Bryce Young, speaking of the Panthers, not a surprise, right? We all knew he was going to go first overall by the time that, and again, draft market's reactionary, but it got there. We knew by draft day, you get the morning tweet from Schefter's like, well, they've centered on Bryce Young all along, blah, blah, blah. And he's like minus 7,000 in the markets. I mean, I'd love to tell you that I wasn't surprised by Richardson because I had him going number four overall in my mock draft, and I was still surprised.
Should have bet it.
Well, I told everybody to bet it on CBS Sports HQ's Spotlight, which you can watch on CBS Sports Network daily, I think from 3 to 4 p.m., and of course on CBSSportsHQ.com. That was an organic plug. Thanks for asking. Uh-huh. The one that was surprising was CJ Stroud, who really had been pushed down the board because of the new – it's the – what's the test? The S2 test?
The
S2. S2, yeah. It's like the new Wunderlich. It's like less SAT, ACT, and more.
Do a better job of how fast you process information on the field.
Exactly, Breach. Thank you. There's an interesting discussion about it with, not to name check me again, but Daniel Jeremiah, who is a huge Padres fan, was on Pardon My Take and was talking about how he has buddies who are MLB GMs, and they've been using it for like 15 years. And they were wondering how it translates to the NFL. We don't really know, but CJ Stroud slandered, moves down. However, in my opinion, Cal McNair, the Texans owner, steps in and says, we want that guy. And you end up with three quarterbacks in the top five for just the third time since 1999.
Really?
Yes. 2021. The Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance year.
Yep.
Breach, can you name the other three quarterbacks of the 1999 NFL draft?
Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Akili Smith.
Who was the best one of those?
not Akili Smith, not Tim Couch. So Donovan McNabb wins by default. And that obviously another draft because Akili Smith was the third overall pick by the Bengals. So that draft is burnt into my head. I should get the top 10 tattooed on my back. I will not, but maybe I should.
Why do the Bengals inspire people to get tattooed so much?
I have no idea. You know, the one thing I will say about this is Brinson said, you know, we don't need to say a lot about Bryce Young. That was the expected pick. We knew that's what the Panthers were going to do. And I like C.J. Stroud to the Texans. I think that is, you never know if a quarterback's going to work out when they get drafted this high. It's literally a crapshoot. We see some of these guys pan out. Some of these guys don't. But Anthony Richardson is definitely the risky pick. Obviously, Shane Steichen did what he did with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia and is thinking, I can do something similar with somebody who is an athletic freak like Anthony Richardson. And so that Colts, the whole, not just the offense, but the whole team just feels like it's a few steps behind the Texans right now. Obviously, Jacksonville, because they feel like they're the best team in the division. And then, you know, I don't know where Tennessee is. They're probably about even with Indy, but it just, I don't know. The Colts just seem like they're going the wrong way.
To me, the Richardson pick kind of felt like Chris Ballard thinking, you know what? Look, Jimbo, brother, I'm tired of you breathing down my neck about this quarterback situation. I'm going to roll the YOLO dice and just get the guy who could make me a god at Indy. And you're going to fire me next year anyway if I didn't draft a quarterback. So why not just draft the guy with the biggest possible upside? I do think the Shane Steichen offense is really interesting with Richardson, and he only started 13 games, so it's hard to it's quarterback evaluation is really, really, really hard. I would personally rather have Richardson at 4 with that Colts offensive line, Taylor, Steichen coaching, than even I like Bobby Slowick a lot in that Texans offense, than Stroud and what the Texans have. So I'm a little higher on the Colts than I was before the draft, and partially because I mock drafted it and get points for it.
All right. On that note, we're taking a quick break. You're watching Pick Six, and we'll be right back.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Phenomenal! Absolutely magisterial here!
Marega Cecino!
Chiamano!
Ah, artiglieri del campionato brasileiro!
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and John Breach. And today, tonight, good morning, I don't know. It's a 2023 NFL Draft first round recap. Make sure you keep it locked with us all week long. We'll be back tomorrow as well. And like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube page. All right, we talked about CJ Stroud, who took a lot of heat in the media last week, but it was another quarterback, Will Levis. He dropped out of the first round. He is the Bo Callahan. We had to get a draft day slash Kevin Costner, you know, nugget in here. He's the Bo Callahan.
It's a Kevin Costner podcast.
It is. It's the unofficial Kevin Costner podcast. Here's the thing. I was looking at some stats. According to ESPN Analytics, there was a 92% chance that Levis was going to be picked within the top 10.
Oof.
That, of course, did not happen. He was supposed to be second overall. What do we think? How is Pete Prisco? Has anybody checked on him?
Oh, man. So a couple things here with Pete Prisco. I'm going to text Red with me, Pete. I name check Pete in my winners and losers article because Pete's got that Instagram thing out there where he's like, Will Levis should be number one overall. And we are absolutely dragging Pete just like over and over again to the point that he's like responding with personal angry remarks. I think he told me that I don't know anyone in the league and that I don't watch football.
Learn the game.
Yeah, learn the game's been bandied about a lot. He's making excuses where he's like, well, Mort says he has a toe issue. It's getting kind of ugly in general. And honestly, you know, we talked about this with Brady Quinn, our friend and podcast partner earlier this week about dropping in the draft. It got so bad that ESPN and NFL Network stopped cutting to Will Levis.
Oof.
Like when that happens, and I think that's good.
It was awful to watch him. Yeah.
He kept turning bright red and you kept seeing his agent shake his head like, no, not here either. And you would see the list of teams
trying to comfort him. And it was, yeah.
Yeah. So kudos to the networks and CBS has done a good job of this too, where during March Madness, they've decided not to, you know, laser zoom in on the crying small child who's just had their heart ripped out because their team lost on a buzzer beater. It's just a little uncomfortable to watch these guys who thought they were gonna be a top five pick. Will Levis was -500 to go fourth overall when the draft started. Like that is, you know, that's Chiefs versus Chiefs versus Jacksonville State, whatever it is. He was a lock to go in the top five and he didn't go in the first round. It's tough. The NFL is weird.
Mm-hmm.
He's not very accurate in short and intermediate areas. He has a cannon. He's got a strong, you know, alpha male attitude. Unfortunately, he does drink mayonnaise and coffee, so that could be
and eat bananas with the peel on.
Yeah,
You can't be doing that stuff.
There has to be something here for him to fall that far in a league desperate for quarterbacks and someone that physically talented. I would guess we see some kind of move early in the second round to go get him, Breach.
I mean, well, first I would say that we shouldn't be talking about ESPN analytics. We should talk about wins over Wilson, because Ryan Wilson literally this morning said that there was going to be a giant drop with Will Levis. Wilson had him going 25th overall in his final mock draft. Wilson mentioned that he would probably drop. And I had said in Slack too, that if Will Levis didn't get taken by the Titans at 11th overall, it was going to be a big uh-oh and he might fall out of the first round, because that was it, like, once you got to that spot, it was,
he said that.
Who's no, that's what I wrote in Slack. Once the draft started to play after he fell out of the top five. But that was after Wilson had told us that he was probably going to fall. And so the thing here is that, look, I think Chris Mortensen from ESPN reported that he was dealing with a toe issue that caused him to miss two games, and that some teams that evaluated him feel that he might need to get surgery on the toe. He doesn't feel the same way. So you have these things leak out. It just feels like he was at best the fourth best quarterback. Like I would have taken Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, all above him any day of the week. So at that point, you're getting to, where should the fourth best quarterback in the draft go? If you're picking the top 10, you don't want to be taking the fourth best player at a position. It just doesn't make any sense. And so, he's going to get taken the second round. Probably. I'm not sure who was going to go after him. The Vikings, maybe. I mean, I don't even know the Titans, but man, it's, I don't know. I don't think it's overly surprising. I think I don't even know why the odds got so crazy. It just wasn't that surprising.
I was trying to load like a fool. I was trying to load the NFL.com draft tracker because it just happened to be up instead of the much more impressive CBSSports.com tracker, which is working well. NFL.com, get it together.
Of course it is.
I will tell you the sneaky landing spot for Will Levis. And I'm wearing a shirt that represents that team.
Rams?
Good to see.
If you are a big football junkie and follow a ton of college football, you realize that in 2021, when Levis had his breakout year, his offensive coordinator at Kentucky was Liam Cohen, who left after that season to be the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. He then left and went back to Kentucky after this past season. So if there's enough there with Sean McVay and Liam Cohen, and Cohen really likes Levis, and the Rams are up, I think, with the fifth pick in the second round, and they have to know Matthew Stafford is not going to be around forever. It's not insane to think they might draft Will Levis.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the first 10 picks of the second round, you could make an argument that probably five or six of those teams could theoretically think about drafting a quarterback. I mean, the Lions, we don't know how much longer Jared Goff is going to be there. That doesn't mean these teams will. Brinson, you mentioned the Rams, the Seahawks, the Raiders, the Titans. Those all teams pick within the top 10 of the second round on Friday, and those are all teams that could think about taking a quarterback. So maybe he won't be free for much longer.
Hope not. Oof. All right. Number six, the last one. Trades are fun. The Texans, of course, traded up to get the number three, Will Anderson. Cardinals traded up for number six to get Paris Johnson. Eagles, we already talked about that with Jalen Carter. Then you got Pitt moving up for Broderick Jones. Giants, there was, I believe, six trades that happened on Thursday night. Did y'all have fun with them?
Well, technically seven, if you count. This is one of those, and look, I'm a weird person with bizarre quirks who likes dumb stuff. Okay. I find
it's on a dating profile.
It is. Should I change it? I mean, my Twitter profile says
I'm a weird person who likes okay, keep going.
No. I'm happy to go down. We'll do a different podcast with what I would put on my dating profile and have like Katie Mox be like, no, that's stupid. Let's do this instead.
The Rated R podcast.
No, I would just be like former notary. People are like, nobody's clicking on that, you idiot. Nobody's swiping. The point being is, I think it's so fascinating that with a bunch of rumors about the Eagles trading up to number three overall with the Cardinals before the draft to grab Jalen Carter, there's this like tweet comes out. It's like the Eagles and the Cardinals have a draft pick trade. It's like, oh my God, this massive deal is going to change the landscape of the first round. It was third round picks. And it was because the Cardinals self-reported that they tampered with Jonathan Gannon at the NFC Championship game and basically came to an agreement like, we'll swap third round. They gave away a middle third round pick, the Cardinals did, to the Eagles as a part of this, pardon my French, dumbass mistake. And that's so perfect for this draft. We had six trades and we had a trade before the draft started breach that involved tampering.
Yes. And like I said, everything was coming up Eagles on Thursday. They got the first round picks they wanted. They forced the Cardinals to give them a free pick through these tampering charges, which happened because the Cardinals general manager apparently called Jonathan Gannon a day after the NFC Championship game when you are not supposed to be talking to people about possible hirings. So just insane that happened. And, you know, and obviously, The trade that's going to get all the headlines is the Cardinals-Texans trade, which was big and we will be dissecting for a long time. But the Cardinals play that smart because they went back up, used those picks in that deal with Detroit and moved from 12 to 6 and got the offensive lineman that Kyler Murray wanted. That we saw Kyler Murray said, hey, look, let's get an offensive lineman here. Let's make it Paris Johnson. It was like the Cardinals GM was just thinking, you know what? I don't want to get on Kyler's bad side. Let's just get the guy he wants. That's what we're going to do. And we saw the Patriots and Steelers make a trade, which was a little crazy. Those are two teams that you don't really see work together too often. But yeah, it was the more trades, the better. That's how I view it. I want 27 trades in next year's first round.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we had a top five trade on the clock, as I mentioned, was 2014. I wrote a story saying there won't be one this year because it'll be difficult for the Cardinals and the Texans to put a trade together. And then naturally the two teams I mentioned in the entire, the impetus for the entire article, those two teams traded with each other. So, you know, a little egg on my face. If I'm going to dunk on Prisco, I might as well dunk on myself. It was some weird trading though, to see how these teams maneuvered around. I think it speaks a lot to how draft value sort of the value that we have on these trade charts sort of crisscrossed in against how people perceive this draft class, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you had two trades where teams only moved up one spot.
Exactly. Where basically the Bears were like, look, Howie, we've got a couple teams who want to come up and get Jalen Carter. We don't want to move too far down because we don't want to lose an offensive lineman. You got to make it worth our while to jump one spot. And these teams did that. And like a team moved from 12 to 3 after they drafted at 2, that is crazy pants. That doesn't happen at the NFL draft. That is actually some draft day Kevin Costner, like, yes, like brouhaha.
Would you say that's the most shocking thing about the draft this year?
Good question. Yes, I think it's either that or Witherspoon going 5 to the Seahawks with a team that, you know, built the Legion of Boom on drafting defensive, like Richard Sherman in the 5th round, Cam Chancellor late, Earl Thomas is early, of course, but it's either Witherspoon at 5, I think. I would say Will Levis, I take it back. Will Levis falling out of the 1st round has to be the most shocking thing on the planet.
Yeah.
And even if you don't believe that, you need to say it just to drag Pete Prisco. Number 2 would be a team drafting it 2nd overall and then trading back up to draft it 3rd overall. And then number 3, I guess, distant, the Seahawks taking Witherspoon. Breach?
Yeah, and we saw a commenter mention that Joey Porter Jr. dropped out of the 1st round. That was a surprise. I think we had him ranked in our top 15. The Lions taking Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously a surprise, which we mentioned earlier. And on that Patriots-Steelers trade that I had mentioned, I brought that one up because I felt like both those teams came out winners. The Steelers need to upgrade their line, which, by the way, Wilson mentioned our Bold Predictions podcast. The Steelers need to trade up and get an offensive lineman. They did that. They got a guy they were targeting. And then the Patriots, when you trade back, you have no idea who's going to fall in your lap. And they end up getting one of the best corners in the draft, the 17th overall. So I feel like that was a surprise that you had a trade where it felt like both teams obviously won. And, you know, I think it might have been a little bit of a surprise that one tight end went in the 1st round just because there was so much talk about this tight end class. And obviously the only one that went was Dalton Kincaid, 25th overall to the Bills. The Bengals decided not to take a tight end. The Cowboys decided not to take a tight end. There were teams at the bottom of the draft that we thought might be targeting tight ends and said, no, we'll wait till the 2nd round. So
the Cowboys not taking Michael Mayer was pretty shocking. It was a wacky 1st round. It was a fun 1st round. There were no gas mask bongs, but it was still fun.
Oh my God. I forgot about that. Yeah.
That was a time to be podcasting or live on the internet.
It's a time to be alive. Like,
if you've never seen it, we're wrapping up, but like go watch Ian Rappaport trying to explain live on NFL Network, knowing that he's like, so here's the deal, Rich. there was a gas mask and a bong and a video that was leaked out in the middle of the draft. And it's like, it's pretty epic television. So we didn't get that, but we did get a 2-3 double.
But luckily we had Brinson on that night and nobody knows more about gas mask bongs than him. That is so true. We were set.
Well, I think it was on via remote because I was actually at my side job. I make gas mask bongs.
You were at a rave.
Right. Exactly. By the way, can we,
also add that to the dating profile?
Yeah. Ooh, former notary makes gas mask bongs. Can we do like a cargo type of thing? You know, Carlos Gonzalez, who MLB guy, can we do like a cargo thing for Gonzalez for the Patriots where it's like, cause I'm worried I'm going to mess up the first name because of Carlos Gonzalez. No, we're not gonna do that. Chargo. Nope.
You want to switch his name? That's like
this when is I actually calling. Worse. This is worse than earlier tonight when I tried to tell a story about Jim Irsay butchering the band covers on DC radio, and like Grant Paulson stopped me. He's like, "What the hell are you talking about?" So with that note.
With that note and Chargo, we are going to bid you all a good night. Make sure that you join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to discuss the 2nd round odds of the 2023 NFL draft. And I'm going to come up with some better trivia to try to stump you guys tomorrow morning. And for good measure, remember to like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. If you're listening to audio only, do the same. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.